comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Hi everybody, we are here. I am joined by Major Sniper from Ascendance and Sapedes from Sigma Sigma Grindset. That's a good start. And we're going to talk what it takes to run groups in EVE, because there's a lot of focus on PvP and such, and not much focus on what keeps the wheels turning. And yes, I decided to look smart. I am wearing my red tie in honor of a good friend of mine. Major, you may recognize this tie. And I thought I'd look smart. But first of all, some of you may be wondering, Brisk isn't here. Well, it turns out he decided to go wandering from the Imperial Palace and seems to have gotten himself lost. So we have a missing person poster. He was last seen marching 30th in front of the Imperial Palace. If you see him, he could be very confused, very lost, and we would love to get him back. So please forward any information you may have to the First Imperial Palace, to the INM Public Affairs Department, because we'd love to bring Brisk home. You know, you got to help the elderly out. So I'm going to leave that up on the screen. And when I can find the right answer here. And yeah. So, we are here to talk groups in EVE. How about you guys introduce yourself? Who wants to go first?
You go first. My name is Major Sniper. I run Ascendance, or apparently I do, and yeah, that's who I am. Major Sniper.
Speedies.
Is he bad? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, my name is Speedies, and I run Sigma Grindset in the corporation Sensible People, and we've been a part of Imperium for quite a little while now, and come from long roots of low sec and all kinds of stuff like that.
Sweet. So, sorry.
No, you're good.
I've had a long day at work today, guys. So this could be quite a chuckle factor of stream here. So first of all, let's go into how long you guys have each been, doing what you do. So who wants to go first on that?
Go on, Stupidus.
Yeah, so I've been playing EVE since the beginning. I quit in 2012 and didn't come back to game till 2018. And when I came back to game, the intensity kind of changed. I think it was like 2018 when it was a Rorqual Fest. You know, everybody was doing super umbrellas, and so much is. I think about 4 years now, everything's drastically changed from running a corp to an alliance. So the game is completely different from even 4 years ago to where it was, 10, 15 years ago. But I've been enjoying it. I'm a little upset with CCP's Vanguard, but, I'll take it. I hope the patch for Nullsec comes before summer. But we can all cross our hands and feet.
That's for sure. Well, from my perspective, I've sort of been playing from 2007. I started in my real life boss's corp and decided that wasn't enough for me, so got sort of playing on my own. Pretty much reached the apex around 2015 when one day in a South African corp, this guy by the name of Uncle Pilot, some of the older guys might know him, came into a South African channel and asked who would be interested in helping him start a corp. And I was the only, I think it was just me and one other guy there. And I was like, his goons so fucking desperate that they've now sent people out to come and raid like little channels looking for people to join. And anyway, after a little bit of conversation, I decided I'd jump in and help him. And that was where Ascendance started in 2016. Pretty much being the most hated corp in the most hated alliance was something very special for the first couple of years. It took a fucking thick skin, excuse me, I'm sorry, don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but it took a pretty thick skin to run the corporation in the beginning. Slowly but surely we've built it up to where it is now.
Okay. There's a lot of challenges to running an alliance or a corp. Especially when there's a lot of people you have to manage, which on that note, so Peters, how many people are in Sigma Grindset?
We're sitting roughly around 700 plus human beings in Sigma Grindset. It's a lot of people.
Not bad. Next, do you know the answer for Ascendance? Because I do.
What, the numbers for Ascendance?
real people.
Probably in the just over the 400 mark, 400, 500, give and take.
530 something.
There we go. We've had a good delta for the past couple of months now, like month and a half. We, as any large corp would or should, we purge a lot of inactive members to sort of keep our numbers more or less active. As to who is active in the game, it's not always true, but we do purge a fair amount of people.
So Pedes, what are, because neither of us here other than you run an alliance, what are some of the challenges you could have, what does it take to run an alliance?
Well, I think so. A big part of Sigma came from Dreadbomb days, and we had a difference in kind of where we wanted to go as a people, right? Part of Dreadbomb wanted to go to Cloud Ring and do contracts and stuff like that. They ended up folding into Big Ab, and we decided we wanted more of the NullSec hybrid type environment. Like our idea of PvP was a little different. We wanted more stability, right, for our people in both, what we call positive feedback looping. So like PvE to make money so we can PvP more. And being based in low sec or mercenary contracts and stuff like that, it's very, it can be very lucrative, but on an individual basis, it requires, someone plexing or having some sort of extracurricular activity to make themselves ISK that's not related to the entity that's doing contracting and low sec. So it's hard to get people to do that, become super self reliant to make money on their own, and then ask them to spend an exorbitant amount of it engaging in those contracts. So it's just something the majority of my people didn't want to do, and myself didn't want to do. We wanted to go for another avenue, and we found solace and friendship and peers in the Imperium, and we've really enjoyed it ever since we came over.
Yeah, I will say from my experience when FCing, for a smaller alliance, you guys do pretty much bring it when it comes to PvP.
Yeah, we love PvP. Any day of the week, let's go. We love brawling.
So a good example is actually something I was going to use at the end here to smug against Horde. But the F4R fight the other day, where yet again they failed to destroy one of our Fortizars. Shocker. You guys actually brought, for your side, a sizable amount of people along to that, which was actually able to hold its own quite well.
Yeah,
So.
we've been really busy this week, and so we got a last minute ping and we're like, okay, let's go. And just with move ops and everything else going on, I was happy with the small fleet we brought that day compared to, I think this last few weeks we've been inundated with 100, 200 man fleets and people were just so tired. So I was happy with what we brought to that fight.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty good. I was quite surprised by that fight because essentially we smashed them in the face, which was quite impressive. At the start of that, we were all a bit like, "Eek, is this gonna work?" But no, they got their ass kicked quite badly.
Yeah, the last minute tussle for the pings that Horde have been doing. Yes, I was surprised that we were mustered the forces rapidly and just destroyed them on grid. Everybody did really well.
Yeah, so Major, a little bit about same sort of thing. What are the struggles and what
You're my only
motivates
struggle, Dave.
I could make it
Yeah,
worse.
I just no. I'm just kidding with you, mate. Listen, I was just thinking now while listening to while listening to Sir Peter's talk, that I really think that like huge kudos must be sent out to these guys that are running smaller corps and alliances, because to a degree there's a certain level of laziness. Being in large alliances where you have multiple content bringers, if you want to call it that, being the FCs, everybody hates you, therefore everybody wants to fight you. That sort of brings a ton of milk to the yard as well, which is really cool. But with the smaller guys, they have to not only be good enough to maintain and keep their smaller FCs and other groups. But they need to carry on maintaining sufficient content, both PvE and PvP wise, for their members. It's a lot more focused. It's a lot more. It's a hell of a lot more effort for them to put it in. So big kudos to all of them.
That would be
Hardships for
nice.
me running a corp are dealing with things like. I mean, the biggest hardship, and I'm gonna drive the nail home here, is Zed's dead. That for me has been the biggest hardship in this game, and scenarios around that really dig home a bit. But we all know that EVE Online is a very social game. There's a lot of highly sociable people in our corporation. And when you get involved and you start talking to them, it's always an amazing time. So I don't really have necessarily hardships. I guess my hardship would be that I don't necessarily always get enough time to spend with the guys as much as I'd like to. But we've got such an amazing team, both leadership and line member, that it doesn't matter who you are, you can log in at any time and just jump straight into a conversation for the most times. Obviously, it's not always like that. Like every game, not everybody's online all the time, blah 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 blah. But yeah, my hardships, that one was the biggest one.
Yeah, that just on that note before we go on to the next topic, I think that was the first time our corps ever actually had to deal with that. And it was quite a large one. So that was definitely
That for me was the third time I've had to deal with something like that, but the first two never went through. So yeah, it's some. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. It's difficult when people reach out with serious mental issues where it's beyond just having a conversation. That for me is really hard. I just want to say, while we have 158 people viewing, that like any mental issues that you guys may have or feel that you may have, go and get it checked out. Go and speak to a psychiatrist, a psychologist. Vent yourself, let yourself free, and if they medicate you, take your medication, because it works. It works really well. I'm a huge supporter of mental health, and I think that one of the worst things is that it doesn't go checked, and that's the worst thing people can do for themselves. So I just wanted to take that moment to say that.
Bear with me while I unscrew my microphone, which should now be unscrewed. It's because I was leaning back in my chair, guys. So, yeah, that was a tricky one. But moving on a bit. So we'll go with Sepides first. How has it changed over the years? Because there's a lot of changes in Eve. And we always look at how the meta's changed for PvP and how fighting changes and so on and whatever, but we never look at the bit that keeps the game going, because at the end of the day, the fights are cool, holding your space is cool, but without the alliances and the corporations, quite frankly, without Ascendants, I wouldn't be playing now. So yeah, how has that evolved over the years?
I think one of the biggest kind of things with the game right now is like it was easier to find content and really kind of drive an idea with doctrine or like how you fight, how you engage people, like any sort of environment in Eve. And I've noticed it's become more difficult to get content randomly. Like it's become really hard to force and engage with people, and that's kind of one of the driving factors in a NullSec or LowSec or any of these alliances is something to feed your people. And I've noticed with a lot of the mechanic changes over the last 4 years, we've seen a huge decline in capital hunting. Like there, I think at one point we were like hundreds and hundreds of Rorquals and carriers were getting killed a month. You could just take a hole and boom, you find a carrier, you find something to kill, you can anchor a fort in somebody's space, start a fight. You can't do that anymore because the time zone manipulation that people are doing right now is really unfortunate. But yeah, just random content with the ESSs have really created a safe place for people to disengage from content. Like if you guys remember a decade or even 5 years ago before ESSs and all this stuff, people got trapped in pipe systems and they either had to go, okay, guys, we're going to go out in a blaze of glory. And, that's it because there's no way to get safe to then needle jack and evac space. So just kind of random day-to-day activities where you're taking roam out has become more and more difficult to engage with people. Because they have too many mechanics to evac from content. So that's a frustrating bit for my guys, which enjoy home defense when we're not doing operations to really, keep the people well fed with entertainment, so to speak, because that's what we do. We're PvP. We play a null and there's nothing to fucking kill right now.
Yeah, I do remember the days when like people would come to Delve, and rather than running and hiding in an ESS, you'd catch them on a gate. Admittedly, sometimes
Yeah,
they'd see a bright
100%.
light and then it's goodbye. But other times you'd actually get a fight. But yeah, I mean, I like taking a film and it gets you to easy content, but at the same time, the whole it reduces a lot of skill, the whole getting your fleet back out of hostile space. Get working out how to get somewhere. Bringing more than 25 dudes everywhere. It's yeah, and then there's
Certainly
the
the
ESS where people just run away to it. You can follow, but at your own, ludicrous. They're just going to go into the ESS, and you can't necessarily follow them in there.
Yeah, it
All right.
becomes a yeah me a mechanical fight. If are they zero transversal, super like 100 km range? Like, how are you going to apply to that with all the nerfs to the cruisers and stuff? You're going to have to implement, a long range battle cruiser, or even just bring battleships that can apply to something that far off. So then you're forced to escalate higher than they are able to. So like they just disengage and leave because there's no way to apply to them with, plus 100 km without using battleships or having doctrines that are obscenely fast and expensive. And that's a whole nother thing with mechanic industries. The industry mechanics that are going on right now make pirate ships just insanely expensive, so you can't have fun with them.
Made you
Yeah, I
any
want to echo
sense of
one of the guys who made a comment, Malthazar, on filaments is killing the game. I couldn't agree with that anymore, and that is pretty much exactly as it is. I think those filaments, like CPD said, guys can just now ult them if they feel like they're overpowered or whatever, they can just filament out. That is so much, that's so garbage. That is so chicken sherbet that, no, I think they should get rid of them as well. The ESS things I don't mind so much because it sort of also gives an opportunity for you to get a small group together and go and possibly defend all the multi-million. So it sort of goes both ways with that one. But the whole filamenting thing, being able to, it's nice to be able to filament into somewhere. But I mean, I don't know how they can do it, but filamenting out is just wrong. They
Yeah,
should make it like you need to travel 5 jumps before you can filament out again. You can't jump within 5 jumps, just as an example.
the ESS brings some interesting mechanics to everything, really. Like you can't light a sino there. If you put a bubble on it, you'll land at zero and can't take the gate all the time, no matter where you walk to. So it adds some interesting mechanics, but and also the fact that you're putting ISCOM on it. But yeah, the filaments, they yeah, you just get your fleet to warp off, safe up, and then filament out. Or in the case of some Horde FCs, filament yourself out and leave your fleet behind.
Yeah.
Oh, God, me. Well, it's because I'm leaning back, sorry. Hold on, let me adjust my mic. Give me a sec. There we go. Okay. So now it's in my face.
Face, Dave.
I'm so good at this, guys. There we
I mean,
go.
it's
Okay.
treatment.
Right. Yeah, that. In my opinion, there's also like issues like scarcity caused a large issue with running corps and alliances, I think, because well, scarcity and the changes to resist and the changes to sites made it more difficult for corps and alliances to make ISK passively, which then fuel PvP because you gotta have ISK. Also made it a lot harder to replace the ships. So back in the day, you would see people doing like 100-man capital roams, and that would always be a good fight. But now you just don't see that because it's ludicrously expensive, which in a
I
way
mean,
is good.
look at how much it cost us sort of a year or two ago to replace a carrier. I mean, it was like 800 million for a carrier hull. Now, like they're sort of four and a half, depending how they fit. And and it's the same thing with Rorquals. When Rorquals first came out, and oh my goodness, we were mining Titans every other week. Like it was just ridiculous how fast that we were able. But then all those nerfs came along and everything. And now, who the hell? And you might remember it was on the day that Pandemic Legion Horde were supposed to have invaded 1DQ that CCP made the changes to capitals and supers, that they added all that PI and other garbage to it. And that influenced the end of that war. I mean, like it or not, say what you want to say. Those decisions to flee and leave and pack up were made because they were unable to SRP. And so anyway, it all goes back to that, is that ships now are just so much more expensive. People just aren't willing to climb into them to go out and play.
I also think that the way to solve capital and super capital perforation was not make it harder to make them, make more reason to use them,
Yeah.
cause more fights. But it harms the little guy. So goons, for instance, we could still print capitals like nobody's business. But smaller alliances, Spedes, I'm sure Sigma had a few issues at one point, probably, trying to get caps. Probably not now because you're in the Imperium and good God, they're everywhere. But it just all these changes just harm the little guy. They don't really harm the big guy.
I think,
Absolutely.
it's at the point where it's like if you look at a new budding alliance, for example, not only do they have leadership issues and other litany of other things forming their ideas, their identity, whatever it is, but yeah, like just the affordability of doing things, like you can't expect a new alliance to burn, 30 dreadnoughts, a couple faxes with a battleship fleet. They're just not going to financially recover from such a thing. And that's a big thing is the SRP for dreadnoughts these days. If you want people to engage, like I would love nothing more to drop dreads constantly, but it starts to become a financial thing because you have 50 dreadnoughts and you're looking at 6.5 billion per dreadnought, or if you have faction dreads, you're looking at quite an expense. Whether you win or lose is irrelevant, but just that's now a consideration where it used to not be as heavy as it is now financially. So, yeah, that's probably why we don't see a lot of people wanting to engage caps. We see a lot of groups punched down with caps and obscenely expensive doctrines when they know they have an advantage, like a distinct advantage. But no one's just throwing caps like they used to, just having fun, having dread brawls, whatever. It's too expensive for alliances these days.
Yeah, like
Also,
I
the
remember.
addition, sorry, Dave, there's also the addition of the mechanics now that, once you own structures in space, that you can be war decked and people can hire mercenaries to go and shoot your structures. Now, not only are you a small corporation or a small in a small alliance, but you've now got to drum up enough interest in your guys to go out and defend these things because you've got capitals being built there. I mean, there's so much pressure. I don't think many people in large alliances like Horde, Pandemic Legion, or Goonswarm really feel that pinch that, my goodness, is that structure going to be there tomorrow or the week thereafter? This is something that, the smaller guys are. And I think that's also all leading into why these changes that CCP make, they think that it's directed at the larger groups like us. And yes, it does scold us, but it certainly doesn't burn us. It burns every single one of those smaller corporations and smaller alliances out there who are trying to make a dime on making super, not supers, but capital ships.
Yeah, I mean, it also, we got other issues in Eve that make it harder for newer alliances. A good example is, with what B2 were trying to do up in the north. They were just trying to make a new block, spice up Eve a bit. After Legacy fell, it's like there's us and PanFam. That's entertaining, isn't it? And, then Frat and Horde decided, hey, let's go clobber the little guy. There's no need to clobber the little guy. The goons don't go, hey, look, these guys are trying to make some of themselves. We don't need more space, but let's go beat the shit out of them. But it just kind of adds to it. And then making it harder to get the things you need to survive, it just makes the game go a bit stale because for the last God knows how long, it's just been Imperium against Horde, and a lot of people say, well, break up the coalitions, but that's not the problem, in my opinion. The problem is people have to join these coalitions because if they don't, they become collateral damage. Because if one side agrees to defend the little guy against the big guy, it just screws them over,
Yeah,
turns
but
into a proxy war.
being a small corporation or alliance and getting an alliance as big as Horde or Goonswarm or any of the large fraternity or whatever to come and side with you going to be a real large act of diplomacy to try and get them to actually come out and support you. I mean, you know what it's like, even if it's just a matter of defending like a Karma Fleet University thing, you know, you can only get so many people who are willing to come out.
Yeah, I mean, Speedy, you could probably have quite a bit of input on this, being, you know, a newer-ish alliance with that's a bit smaller. What do you think are the struggles for the new guy?
Well, I mean, in 2 years, we were able to really like really push and drive our people to, you know, be who we are now. I mean, we're forming over 200 man fleets, but like that wasn't always the case. But getting there was not only a diplomatic challenge, a financial challenge, like an idea, really getting people behind something and saying, this is the identity we're looking for. It's really difficult, especially with a lot of these newer alliances after the sea agreement ended. If you just go out with like a 30-man fleet to go fight somebody, they think it's a fucking invasion. And it's like, no, we're just here for content. And, you know, like we got the drone lands gobbling up things for renter lands. And these alliances have no choice. They either bend the knee or they get murdered by, you know, the North. So these small groups are constantly desperate right now for saviors, for people that'll help them do anything, because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, like we were lucky for the time that we formed an alliance, because the game was a little different then, you know. But now it's, I find it extremely difficult for the people living in the neutral states or the sea. There's just nothing much for them to look forward to. You got too many backdoor alignments with the North that are, you know, attacking smaller groups, but not for content. There's definitely a dishonesty happening there, and we're watching it real time. I am happy to see Cringe Coalition. They're not the best pilots, they're not the best strategists, but I'm happy to see independent groups like that just play the game. And no one's gonna, you know, take their cake.
Yeah, it's one of those. If there's no need to, so I've got up on the stream the sub map. For those, I'll zoom out. So you got PandaFam here, who just decided, yeah, let's gobble everything up. Now we as the Imperium are just like, we have enough space. Our dudes are living. Yeah, we've expanded a bit because we got more alliances. Down into some of Legacy's old space, but that's probably as far as we're gonna go, because holding a lot of space is a pain in the ass. But yeah, you've got PamFam and Co. just constantly pushing the boundary on this eastern side here, on the, as you said, the Southeast Agreement neutral states, which they're just little guys trying to get by, make some of themselves. A good example is Red Menace Coalition. They're not, you know, what they once were, but in Catch, when Horde and Fat came knocking, Horde basically went, cut ties with them or we're gonna steamroll you. How is that healthy for the game? Yeah. You can't nurture new groups without letting them live a bit. You know, even other groups over here, it's like you have to basically make yourself an island and not talk to anyone to be able to, you know, exist.
And I think this is CCP's end game. This is what they wanted. You know, just going back to what Sir Peters was saying earlier on, that, you know, it's really a struggle for the smaller groups and the smaller neutral groups and what have you, and how do they survive? And I think this is what CCP wanted. CCP has made it in such a way that when you start this game, the first thing you learn is that you need to join a strong coalition or alliance to succeed. And I think there's a lot of truth in that matter because it's true. I mean, if you want to succeed and get the best of everything EVE Online has to offer, the only way you're going to get that is through one of the larger coalition or alliances. I think that's something that CCP has sort of, it's like having the bastard child. It's what they created. It's the monster they've created.
Somebody asked Major, when you say succeed, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Like, how what is success in Eve? I would say
What is
staying
success
alive.
in EVE?
It's a broad one, yeah.
Success in EVE is a daily struggle. Success in EVE is every day when you log in. EVE does not have an end game. There is no end to EVE until they pull the plugs on the servers. So success is such a, well, I don't really know how to answer success because it's a daily struggle. It's something that you do every day. If you stop doing one day, it will affect the next day, which will affect the next day, excuse me, and so on. So success for me is logging in tomorrow. That is success.
Yeah,
Yeah, sure.
Futurity is right,
Success
but
is bad.
I would
Success is
say the important thing for any leadership, and I'm sure these guys could back you up, is this is a game. It's meant to be fun. It's stressful for people in like our position sometimes, but at the same time, it's there to make fun for people. So when I go out and FC a 256 man fleet, the important thing at the end of the day, the objective doesn't matter. The escort doesn't matter. Your kill board doesn't matter. Did your fleet members have fun? Now, when it comes down to your being attacked, for instance, when Dalph was attacked, the objectives matter then because that is what would stop your members from having fun, essentially, if you didn't have any space and you lost all your stuff. But the long and short is, in my opinion, fun is the most important thing. If your members aren't having fun, what's the point of what you're doing? Anyone?
Well, that's a very ambiguous way of looking at it, but it is true. I mean, that's a very leadership type point of view. How do you see that perhaps from a line member's point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I think goons do it the right way, pretty much. We don't really do mandatory fleets or operations, you know. We just kind of, well, the entire Imperium's just kind of like, you do you. Just
Yeah.
you know, we have basic requirements.
That was one of the weirdest parts of understanding goons when I first joined them and first started with Goon Swarm, was understanding that goons aren't there to run your corp for you or tell you what to do, or and it's a very, very big misconception that people have that Goon Swarm is one of those role-playing type alliances where you come, maybe it was to a small degree when Mitanni was running it, but it was always a fun thing. But yeah, I think people just need to chill out and have fun and enjoy the game. If you're part of a corporation, be part of that corporation, absorb yourself into it, do everything that's available to you through that corporation. Goon Swarm is a very chilled, relaxed. We are not told what to do, how to do it. We run our own corporations, which is really, really nice side of being in Goon Swarm.
On the note of members having fun and basic things that are expected of them, so in Goons, each corp has there's monthly statistics that judge the health of the alliance in each corp, depending on mana paps and other stats. I'm intrigued, so PDs, how do you guys like? Do you guys check whether your corps are staying healthy and people are active and make sure you're keeping the alliance healthy sort of thing. How do you guys work?
Well, we have like I'm fortunate enough to be in the position where I'm, have unlimited time, so to speak, and my command structure is also full of people that are very involved with the CEOs, and the CEOs are very involved with the Alliance leadership, because we kind of operate differently. Everybody is part of a team in Sigma, and we all pitch in. We all look at what we can do to not only better our pilots on an individual basis, but the corporations as well. And the hardest part in leadership is really finding something for your guys to munch on, right? Like some sort of activity. And that's the thing is, the leadership is there, the community is there, you have an identity, but it's using all that right now in the game is a hit or miss. There's the content is not as fluid as it used to be. So having your other FCs look for something for your people to do, to keep them active in the community, and that can be difficult right now with how the game is going.
Taking off my host hat, putting on my corp hat, I can definitely agree finding stuff for your members to do at the moment, very challenging. So back even during the war in Delve, so for those that weirdly don't know, I'm one of the people that run the, we call it the military stuff, but anything to do with PvP in Ascendance. So back when the war in Delve was on, for us as a corp, it was great because we could form fleets. We were regularly getting like 200 man fleets of support. And there was content everywhere. But nowadays, for a corp or a smaller group that's not like an alliance main fleet, my chair's creaking, sorry. To go and find that fun is very difficult because you could go to low sec, but you get the low sec dudes with their amulets and their, just obscenely expensive crap that's just going to screw you over. You can go to the groups that are on the screen now, or the Southeast Agreement guys, and then they see a goon or a member of the Imperium. It's like, oh my God, we're being invaded. No, you're not. I'm just here to have some fun, Or you go up to PanFam Space and,
The super fleet dropped on your
yeah,
face.
I've solo roamed in PanFam Space. They see my name, and suddenly there's capitals and all sorts of random crap being dropped on my frigate, which I'm not innocent of. You come to Delve, I will drop my super on you. But I don't drop a fleet of them. Yes, the echo's coming from Major. He uses speakers. So it's very difficult to get that content. Where back before the war in Delve, you had Brave, where you could go to GTECM. GTEC, no, GETEC, sorry. I was reading something else somewhere else. And just hang about. Eventually, give it about half hour. They'll rock up with a fleet, Or back when Horde lived in Fade, way back when. Yeah, you rock up there and it was quite a interesting matchup. But now it's just blobbed the hell out of everyone. Even if you go to PanFam Space, you go into Horde Space and suddenly NC turn up and Slice turn up and everybody and their grandmother is just dropping on you. Which, as I said, we're not innocent in that. But I like to think we do a measured response, unless you're dumb enough to bring a full battleship comp into Delve, we're gonna hard counter you because that's a bit of a threat. But the fun for anything that's not a big fleet is kind of, I think, evaporated a bit. Don't know if anyone disagrees with that, but it's making it a bit more difficult. That's where the running to the ESS comes in, because if you're a small fleet and you hop in the ESS, they warp into you, yeah, you're going to get a couple of kills. You're probably going to get killed, though. So,
yeah, yes, this is just one of those things. Like,
it's getting harder
and harder. They attract people into places like Dulv or any other place where there are large alliances turning or churning over huge amounts of ISK in the belts or in wherever. And sometimes those ESS amounts are really, really high, and you go in and there's just nobody to defend it, and you walk away with a lot of cash. So it brings the morgue to the yard, if you know what I'm saying. It brings the boys to the yard. But it's just up to, so I guess we do it anyway, to go out and rip their faces off and do other bodily harm to them.
In game.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I mean, Betty's just prompted me on another thing. Another thing that's getting harder for any group, and I don't know how you guys handle this, Apedes, but is recruitment. Because, the player count in EVE's gone down a bit, let's be honest. But, you know, everybody's in their groups already. It's hard to get them. So how do you guys handle recruitment? Like, I know you're an alliance, so you don't necessarily handle it on that level, but, you know, I'm intrigued.
I mean, so kind of one of my leadership principles is, you know, like I don't live in an ivory tower. I have an open door. Anybody can come with me. Anybody can talk to me. I always lead from the front. So if I got guys that, you know, we have to wake up 4 a.m. to do a crazy CNTZ timer, I will be there as well. And that's kind of something we kind of push to all our leaders down the line is really try to lead from the front. And when we recruit, we try to find people that are really looking for a team environment. We don't want individuals, because that's not how you survive in EVE. And we also need people that understand that when you live in NullSec, no one is exempt from PvP. You must PvP first, and then you can crab second. Or you're not going to be able to protect your space. You can't expect anybody to protect you 100% of the time and identify as, oh, I'm an industrialist. That doesn't work here, buddy. It's kind of like the fun, what is it, Starship Troopers, everybody fights, everybody works. That's like our motto.
How do you police?
Say again?
How do you police it?
So how we police that is we have a very intricate way of statistically looking at people's involvement on a pilot and their alt basis. If they engage into PvP, how much a bounty they're collecting, like all that kind of statistics. We have a special software that breaks it down, and we can look at corporations and pilots and the alliance as a whole on how that activity kind of a broad eagle eyes view of how everybody's doing. And then we can break that down on a corporation level and see how many of those active pilots are engaged in fleet or killboard statistics, and at the same time their bounty statistics, like how much they're grabbing and or mining. We have access to all that information, and so we can see that we're doing very well. And so when we recruit, we're looking for people that don't want to join Sigma. We're looking for people that are more kind of like Vouch. We're really hard on Vouch and newer pilots. We really support them if they're a legitimate new pilot, to getting them into a doctrine ship, getting them into a crabbing ship so they can make money, so they can enjoy PvP. And so it's a process.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing with the newbies, is everybody needs to help them, quite frankly. Because EVE is the steepest learning curve ever. I get, Major can attest, I get very, very angry when somebody attacks Karma Fleet University or Ascendance Rising, which are Karma Fleet and Ascendance's Nuvo Corps, because they're just there to teach people the game. Whether they want to go to Goonswarm after that or Horde, I mean, we've had people that have been in there, conversed with us, and then they've joined Horde, come on to Ascendance. I think helping the new guys is probably the most important thing that any null set group can do. And it's not just us do it. Horde have their high set group, and I do commend them for that. And even when they come out to null set, you have to keep helping them because Eve is a game where if you don't, people will just stop playing. Like, I was brand new when I came to Ascendance, and I had the help in the core that kept me going, which is one of my motivating factors behind everything I do, even in my fleets. Anyone's welcome in any, well, okay, mostly any ship. It's because I'm leaning back again. I'm sorry. I need to sort those out. When I get talking, I get really comfortable and I lean back in my chair. So, nurturing the new guy is the important thing, in my opinion. And then that new guy becomes, I mean, we've had people in our corp that started out as the new guy and they're now joining me dropping dreads and stuff on,
That's true.
random
Watching
people.
people, come in. I mean, over the 7 years odd that I've been doing this, watching these guys come in as absolute noobs, asking all the right questions, getting in all the right ships, following a good career path, solid. It's just amazing to watch how some of these guys are now flying supers and what have you, all the way from all they were doing in the beginning was sitting in a catalyst, trying to make enough money to buy a Noctis, running behind supers, salvaging, and that's the only income they had because they had no skills for anything else. So it's really, really testament to watch these guys grow up, and they're still in the corporation, they're still part of the team. It's just really, I agree with you, Dave. It's really nice to watch.
So we're running low on time, but I do have one more question for Sapedes. As an alliance executive, how can we nur help nurture new alliances? How could the game as a whole?
Well, one of the things I try to do within my scope is I don't like stepping on smaller alliances. The For example, there's lots of groups within the sea that aren't very strong. And it's really kind of like pace how you aggress those groups, like get them involved into PvP, engage with them. But let them know, like if you can reach out to them, be like, dude, we're not going to invade you. We're just here for fun, fair, enjoyable content. And don't go blowing up new bros, Sotillos, or like if it's their only fort, don't drop a 200 man hell fleet in there and go blow up their shit. Like you give them some room, allow them to grow. And I think that's a lot of these groups, kind of what we experienced a while ago, is that when you're a budding alliance and you start to really hit the stage in a way that people notice, you immediately become a target. And the bigger groups, like when we were living in Catch near Providence, when we were part of RC after Dreadbomb collapsed, we were targeted by Snuffed, Baltram's group, NC, and it were helping us. And then it kind of like devolved in craziness. And then Fire was attacking us with Snuffed and NC and PH. Like it just became so much. And everybody wanted content out of us, but we couldn't fight like 1,000 people. So things changed, right? And so the one thing I can ask of the community is like really stop murdering small alliances. Let them grow a little bit. It's bad for the game.
I completely agree. I mean, there's many alliances. I was talking about getting content for, like, for attack or there's many alliances in that Southeast agreement that even Ascendants we could go and just steamroll them. But why? What's the
Because we
need?
can.
Well, yeah, I mean, there
Yeah,
is
it'll
that, and
you'll just
I
kill them, and then
would.
we'll have the 2 block paradigm or 3 block
Exactly,
paradigm
yeah.
again.
It's
Yeah,
like
it's
I
boring.
love doing stuff because I can. And honestly, I'd find it
Exactly.
enjoyable. But once I've done that, what's left? Oh no, Horde.
Because you
Okay, what
can
am I gonna
again.
do? Nothing. Exactly. So we're running low on time. Somebody did ask what advice you would give for leaders, Major, with members showing signs of burnout. Major did answer in chat a bit. Things like leave of absence, cut them some slack. You know, let them, I don't know, we get them to fill out a form and mark them as on leave.
Everybody has a time when they need to take a break from the game, even me. And, if people think that they're going to be away for a short period of time or a long period of time for that matter, for us, we just give them a leave of absence and that takes them off the kick list. We give the guys all the time in the world to check whatever it is in real life that they need checking and then come back to the game and find that their shit is exactly where they left it. The stations are still there, the structures are still there,
Their
and
plugs
everything
may
is
not
running
be.
as smoothly as it was before when they left. So for us, that is what we do.
Well, for instance, up until middle of last month, I personally was really busy with real life, and Major wasn't, breathing down my neck per se. Well, he was literally in Texas, but that's a different story. So just cut them some slack. Or if it's something that your corp is doing with or your alliance is doing, maybe look at maybe it's time to change it up and do something different, or go home for a bit and let them crap. So we are, as I said, running out of time. Any final comments, thoughts, Sopedes first?
Yeah, I just wanted to reach out since I'm here is thank everybody in the Imperium. Thanks Sigma for climbing our way in the last 3 years to where we are now. And I wouldn't be happier. I think I have a fantastic group of people and that really like to engage in this game with me in the way that we kind of identified ourselves as the entity we are. And I'm having a blast. I love this game and I hope that it doesn't continue to go negative, right? Like with the patches, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, man, I just really hope CCP does us good with this NullSec patch. It'll be really interesting and fun.
Yeah, see what happens.
And I need more feet picks. I gotta have more feet picks.
You got to join the Ascendance Discord then.
Oh,
Yeah, hit
nice.
us up anytime. We deal with feet picks. It's
Every
how we
time I go
SRP.
to Cozumel, I send at least 100 feet pics with different backgrounds.
Anyway, Major, any final thoughts that don't have anything to do with feet pics?
No, just feet picks, bro. That's it. Feet picks, feet picks, feet picks. No, I'm joking. Just for the rest of you guys, all of Ascendants, I love you guys. All of our directors, all of our subdirectors, our recruiters, our IA guys, everybody is a single gear in a large group of cogs that is making a really, really cool machine work. And I absolutely admire all of you guys, and I really, really appreciate all the hard work everybody puts in. Thank you from me. Peace out.
Right, my final thing is, remember, guys, Brisk is missing. If you see him, he may be confused. We would love him returned soon. Then you don't have to deal with just me, or me at all. Who knows? So, if you have any information, he was last seen outside the Imperial Palace. Contact INN Public Affairs at the First Imperial Palace, 1DQ1A Delve, Southwest Regions. And until next time, bye-bye.